It's good. Welcome to Hammer Don. Number one gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. I am your host of this show of Hammer Don, Tone Diggs. I am joined by the ever still hot Mr. Pat McAfee.
How you doing? Keep it moving.
The stats nuke man himself, Bubba Gumpino. And our resident NFL expert, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the Daily Coach, the GM Shuffle Pod, and writes for The Athletic, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Attaboy, Paizan.
Thank you. Congratulations again, Pat. You're on a roll, man. Don't look back. Just keep, tell them all, just only bet as much as they're willing to win.
Hey, it's all of us, though, this particular weekend. The large majority of this show won this weekend. And I want to say, it's not, I mean, I am on a heater right
now.
Let's not get it confused. I am very hot right now. But it feels like this show's picking winners. Now, my table mate here, not so great, but it feels like we're getting hot out here, Paizan.
To your point there, Mitt, I don't know if you are capable of doing this, but do you have the ability to put up the current standings? He did say yes. All right, so on the season, Mr. Lombardi, you are 6-6.
Not a bad bounce back by you, by the way.
Great bounce back week. I am 11-9. Pat is 14-7. Gumpy is 12-10. But to everyone on the Hammer Down credit, not one losing record.
Not one.
Not one
only
losing record.
Only winners.
Only winners. Michael, how do you feel about your weekend?
I think it's going to get a little bit better going forward because I think after four games, we'll have a better idea about the teams, because there is, that's a large sample size, one quarter of the season. And these lines are, I think, are reacting. Like, these lines this week are incredible. I mean, do you see some of the highlights? I mean, Dallas is 1-3. They're a bad team, and they're a 9.5-point favorite going against the Giants on the early Monday line. So
that and the Texans, I think the Texans are a 7.5-point favorite, and they haven't won a game yet either.
I know, so it's great. So I think there's money to be made out there, just like people, if they pay attention, they can make it.
You're talking about right now, you're saying, let's go ahead and get going. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think there's some times where you want, like, look, if you would have taken that Washington line at 12.5 against Baltimore you on Monday, but once it got up to 14.5, you know, you didn't get it anymore. So sometimes you got to take, like, the Rams are a 9-point favorite against the they come back and play Washington this week. So you know that probably line will move to 10.5 before the week's out.
Yep, that happened last week with the Giants. Pat was smart enough to jump on the Giants because he knew the boys were going to play for Judge, because he once dove on a fumble on a muddy wet field.
Bingo. Yeah.
So I mean, the only teams that really disappointed this week, me, I'm an idiot. I said I wasn't going to do it. I took an under again. That'll never happen again. That is my vow. I will never do it again.
You talked me into doing it, too, and it was for the Cowboys-Browns game I took an under. Well, and that thing was blown out in second quarter. Literally.
I thought Tampa would play defense. They did not. I thought the Chargers were going to play defense. They did not. That game ended up being like a 70-point game. So
8-4-1 to the over again this week.
What do you mean?
Now, look, I know I won over on that, but did anybody watch that Charger game?
And
that,
oh, yeah.
That, I mean, that was a crime. I mean, to fumble the ball on the 9-yard line with 47 seconds and give them a touchdown, and then to try that 47-yard field goal with that swirling wind down there, you know, it's just, I couldn't believe it. I don't understand it. But, you know, that Anthony Lynn, it's amazing for me.
Michael, you're one.
What's that? What's amazing to you with Anthony Lynn?
Well, I mean, he's got the ball back with 47 seconds left. There's no time left on the clock. Right, basically, he's going to go into halftime at 24-7, right? And what happens? He tries to run the read option at the 9-yard line, and they fumble, and Brady gets it, and now it's 24-14. Then it's 24-21. They have a nice long drive going. They try a 47-yard field goal with swirling wind. It's Tampa weather, right? He wide lefts it. Two plays later, he's down 28-24.
The shot of Tom Brady on the sideline, by the way, at the end of the half when he's looking at his little Microsoft Surface, and I forget who was next to him, maybe a coach goes, oh, shit, they fumbled it. And you see him go, what? And he looks up, and it's like, oh, my God, we're going to steal one right here, which is exactly what they did. You're saying Anthony Lynn not managing the game properly there, and I thought Air Bear played a lot better than anybody could have expected, answering the GOAT on numerous occasions.
He was great. You know, here's what I would say. I said this on my pod today. Miami better be right with Tua. Because this Hay Bear is really good.
Air Bear. Be a little French.
Air Bear. I mean, he's really good, right? I mean, so Tua hasn't had a chance to show us what he can do. But if you're Chris Greer and you picked Tua mm-hmm. before Herbert, you got to make – you're a little bit like – that Herbert's pretty damn good.
What do you make of the people calling for Tua already, Mike?
A lot of that right now.
I watched that game today, this morning, and I got to say, like, there's no – you know, Ryan's a great story. But boy, he tried to throw three more interceptions than they caught.
Oh. They handcuffed him a bit too, Mike. There were some fourth downs they could have went for where they kicked it. They had to get it in the end zone at some point.
Exactly, and I think if you have two out there and a guy that could really – now, I know Fitzy can move, but, I mean, the threat of the movement, I'm wondering why they're not. I mean, I would go to him right now. After the quarter mark in the – at least I would have got him at least in a game to get let him get tackled.
Yeah, like you what know? They're doing with Jalen Hurts in Philly.
Like, put him out there. I'm not saying turn the team over to him, but you got to get some contact on that. Kid's never had any contact since he got hurt that play – you know, last year.
Well, Flores actually just came out and said he has to view it as if it's his son. If mm-hmm. his son went through an injury like that, when would you want to put him back in there and rush that in there? I feel like that's probably a good mindset to have, but it's also a coach of a team. We got to win games here. It's an interesting thing because when you're a top five pick like that, people are going to expect you to perform at some point. It's just, when is the right time? Do we drop him into fire to get killed, or do we wait until we have an easier opponent? He's going to have to face a hard opponent anyways. At some point, it's the NFL. That balance always seems to be backwards in my eyes.
I get that. If it were my son, I want to. But everybody tells it. Everybody says he's healthy. How many times have we read or heard on ESPN that everybody says he's healthy? Like, if he's healthy, he's good to go. Let's go.
It's a tough.
He didn't. In their defense, he didn't practice all week last week, though. Like, he was sick.
Right. No, that's COVID? Right. He had the flu. That's separate.
No, just the flu.
But I thought before the opening game of the season against Philly, they would have had some – against New England, they would have had some Wildcat stuff. And I know New England was ready for it, but they would have had it. I thought they would have had it.
Michael, a lot of the people in this business – would love the Finns, and they were in a lot of the game, and then they fell off. And then the other two dogs that they liked were the Lions and the Raiders. Did you have any thoughts on those two games?
You know, I definitely was on the Lions. I'm up 14-0, and you know, I mean, look, they just couldn't stop breathe. They couldn't tackle. I mean, the Lions' defensive team speed is not good enough, and they can't tackle, and they can't put any pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, Breeze just – and they ran the ball effectively on him. And then they start – can you imagine having a 14-0 lead and you're playing from behind in the first half?
Yeah, it'd be tough. Especially with how good they looked early to get those 14.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, look, I don't know what to say. Detroit, I think what Matt said after the game is wrong. I think Jim Caldwell did not leave a mess. He was 6-2 the last eight games of the season before he got fired.
And in Detroit, that's basically 12-2. I mean,
you might as well. Might as well.
I mean,
how do they pick up those pieces, Lombardi? They're going to have to blow that place up, I assume.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're going to have to. The general manager, they're going to have to blow it all up. I mean, they're going to have to start over and build a culture and a foundation. Because I've said this many times, when Matt went in there, he went in there with a mindset he was going to, it was a teardown. And he should have gone in there as a mind of a repairman. He needed to – look, they won 9 games. He pissed everybody off by saying, you're no good. Right? Players don't want to hear that. Players that were just 9-7, they want to hear the guy coming in is going to get us over the top. Right? I mean, the 76ers hired Doc Rivers. They don't want to hear him come in and say, we're going to tear this place down. They want to hear him say, hey, we're here to win playoff games. And how are we going to do that?
It's interesting.
I think Matt took the wrong approach, frankly.
It's interesting to hear you say that because I was on a team, obviously, they got a new regime, new head coach, and we were 2-14 the year before, obviously. But everybody knew that season was a wash. And before that, it was the winningest decade in NFL history. So whenever people in team meetings early at training camp were like, we got to build a culture here. We got to rebuild this. We got to do this. We got to do this. There's a lot of us OGs that were like, wait a minute, dude. We literally just had an AFC run 2 years ago, one broken neck from Peyton Manning ago. We were hot. So you're 100% right. There was a lot of players, but they got rid of so many players that it wasn't the majority of the team.
Which is the wrong thing to do. When you're trading away good players just because you think they don't buy into what you're saying, it may be what you're saying is wrong. Because it's hard to get good players, you know, and you don't recognize. See, most people they get a new job and they think you got to tear it down. You know, you can't get rid of every player. You got to work with somebody that you don't want to. Maybe you don't think buys. You got to sell them on your program. You're part salesman. Like you guys, you're sitting there listening to somebody telling you need a new culture. You know, do you realize how many conference championship playoff games we've been to? We know what it takes to get there. You know, we understand it. Like, that, how stupid do you think we are?
1,000%. And then, Michael, in the Raiders and Bills game, a guy that we talk about a lot, Pat's taken some heat for a little bit. You've talked about it a lot in his deep ball throwing. Are we able to buy in on Josh Allen now?
It looks like it.
I think so. I said all offseason that the only thing could hold the Bills back is Josh Allen's accuracy. And I didn't think he was going to be able to change it. And yet, he really has done a good job. I think Brian Daboll has done a really good job. They're running plays, and they're creative with their offense, and they're making him get – he didn't even run the ball yesterday. You know, I mean, he didn't have to run the ball. It wasn't a dual-threat quarterback. Yeah, I thought he – I mean, you go out there and win. Now, look, I know the Raiders are not great on defense, and I know, you know, the Raiders are coming off of a tough game against New England and all that. But, you know, that game was there for the Raiders to take. A lot of people thought the Raiders were going to cover that, you know, and they didn't have enough arsenal. I mean, when you broke the Raiders down, they were missing too many guys. So Josh Allen's for real. I really do. I'm on it now.
They turned the ball over in two critical moments yesterday too, Mike. No and doubt. Then for the Bills, I mean,
fumble. Yeah, I mean, and he gets stripped in the pot. Yeah, I mean, but it's the same thing they did against Oakland.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny. Remember when you were a kid, you used to go to the doctor's office and they had a highlight magazine. You had to find the things in the magazine, like, you know, find the banana, find this, right? Well, when you look at Derek Carr's stat sheet, it's like a highlight magazine. You got to find out why they lose because his stat sheet's incredible. Like, his numbers are incredible. Like, how did we lose this game? We should have had 40 points based on what his numbers were. But yet there's always two or three things he just doesn't do in a game to help his team win.
Well, Stephon Diggs has been incredible for Josh Allen, too. I mean, there's some balls they're just toss-ups, and Diggs goes and gets them.
Yeah, no doubt. And those corners at the Raiders, they were missing Arnett. They were missing their guys. I mean, I don't think the Raiders – see, I think what's really missing in the NFL today is this mentality of we're going to build our team – to beat the best team. Like when Pat was in Indy, everything people did was how can we handle Peyton Manning and the boys? You had to think like that. And I don't see that. Like, if you're telling me the Raiders have built their team to beat Patrick Mahomes, then I need an eye exam because I can't see it.
Charlie Casserly got fired because he drafted Mario Williams because of Peyton Manning instead of Reggie Bush, and he got fired for it.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, and look, that's all the fans got mad at that. But the reality of it is take a defensive lineman any chance you can over a running back. Hey, look, I text Matt Rhule last night and said, well, you know, McCaffrey for 2 years, you've won two games without McCaffrey. So much for having to pay running backs.
That was the last game I wanted to talk about because that was a game that bit some of us in here was the Cards. Do we need to be in a holding pattern, a wait and see what happens with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals?
You know, I think so. I think when I'm watching this tape right now, when you called, I mean, he has a hard time seeing over the middle of the field. And the Panthers did a really good job of trying to force the ball outside. And they defended the outside quadrant of the field. He missed some throws. Now, he was dangerous with his feet, but I think he threw for 150. I mean, he couldn't get the ball out there. I think he does have problems seeing. It's no different than Baker. Look, I think what the Browns did is what we talked about. Baker's not the offense. The Browns' running game's the offense. And I think Murray is going to have the same type approach.
No, they realized that when you need to throw for a long passing touchdown, that Jarvis Landry is probably their best option.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the greatest things of all. Nobody falls for it. But any kid that can throw left-handed and you run a reverse to his throwing hand, nobody plays the pass. Because instinctively, no one thinks that the kid's going to throw it. That's why Keith Byers had 1,000 touchdown passes when he played for the Eagles. He was left-handed. I always wanted a left-handed running back so you could throw it down on the goal line. Because they still, no matter how many times you say watch it, they still don't defend it.
I think Joseph Addai, who was a lefty, I think he threw a couple touchdowns because he was a lefty. And I remember vividly Chuck Pagano pointing out somebody on the offensive side to the defense, the defensive meeting room almost. He was like, this guy is a lefty. It was a real thing that was talked about. And if you're Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham and you're Kevin Stefanski, you have two other guys on that offense that are on the field that can throw the ball a very, very, very long way. And I'm not saying they should become a trick team, trick play team, but if you have the weapons and capability to do so, that is a hell of an advantage. And Odell can throw it like 80 yards if he has to.
Could you imagine with all, you know, you run a couple bubble screens out to Landry and then you run that flanker flare pass where it's behind the line and he throws it across the field. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do.
Edelman used to – Hey, Edelman was awesome whenever they started doing that with the Patriots and Amendola. It was like, okay.
He was great with it because he was a college quarterback. He knew how to throw it. I mean, the touchdown pass he threw in Philadelphia last year, they practiced it, and they wanted him to throw it another way, and he threw it to where he threw it for a touchdown pass, which won the game for him. He wasn't even supposed to do it, but he saw the guy was, you know, he had an instinct for playing quarterback, just like Landry and Beckham. Those guys have instincts for playing it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, there was a point in time, like when the Steelers were on their Super Bowl runs, that they would run a trick play every single game, just so it was something that the defense had to prepare
for. Antoine Randall L.
Yeah, that's right. Randall L.
The pride of Indiana right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the games tonight. First one is Patriots at the Chiefs. 10.5, speaking of dogs barking. The Patriots go in there. Michael, your son's on that coaching staff. They're flying out day of game day. Pat talked about how that's a huge disadvantage. Have you heard anything up there? And what are your thoughts on the disadvantage of traveling game day?
I mean, I talked to him this morning. They were leaving the hotel at 7:30, and then they were going. And then I made sure I told him to text me when he landed. Mm-hmm. And I think he texted me at like a 10 of 12 on my time here in New Jersey. And so that's a long-ass trip. They were going to the hotel to rest. But now, what time is it? It's almost 10 of 4. They're all probably on their way over to the stadium now. It's going to be a long-ass day for them. Then they come back. They got Denver 4:25 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it's a busy, busy week for them. He won't see my grandsons all week, I can promise you that. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge. I think if they can start fast and hold that momentum, that's going to be critical. It's a lot of points. I got to be honest with you. I think Bill will play complimentary football. Sonny Michel's out tonight. I think Damian Harris is going to be the back, and we'll see how good he is. I think he's pretty good. I think he's better than Sonny Michel, actually.
What? You think he's better than the leading rusher right now for the New England Patriots?
I do. I think he's. I think here's why, Pat. I think he can do more in the passing game than Sonny does.
So the Hoyer over passing yardage should definitely hit, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, you think it's. I mean, look, all these overs. I mean, there's three teams that haven't been called for holding so far right now, and there's 15 of them that that have had two or less holding penalties. So, you know. I think they'll move the ball. The problem with Brian Hoyer is when the ball gets, like what happened with Indianapolis, when it gets down to the red zone, he tries to become somebody he's not, and they got to do a really good job of protecting that he doesn't turn that ball over.
Yeah, double-digit favorites on Monday night since 2003, 10-24-2 against the spread, Mike.
I mean, it's like last night. Like, let me ask you guys both something, all three of you. When you started watching that game, did you think – that I mean, I thought for sure Philly was going to win that game.
As soon as Mullins missed that throw, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah,
I thought so too. I you know, that would have been the perfect in-game bet right there.
Well, I did actually, by the way.
Of course, you're on a roll.
I mean, right now you're going to win the lottery.
You think so? Because I haven't played the Powerball.
I don't know why you're not playing it.
Well, I am a Powerball player, but it's been off for a couple months here. I have not jumped in there, and I am not like the normal human who's like, I want to see it at 800 million before I play. I'll play it when it's down at 50, 40, whatever Smart. It is. So you're right. I probably should think about at least signing up. Maybe a pick 'em. Maybe let them pick one, and then I'll go ahead and sort one out as well. It's a good idea. Thank you for that.
Boys, and I'll ask this to the room. So tonight, New England currently is number 22 in opponent's yards per rush and number 27 in opponent yards per pass. Are they going to be able to get stops tonight against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? Enough stops to cover 10 when on the other side, if the Chiefs are stopping the run game, which they haven't, they're number 30 versus an opponent's yards per rush. If the Chiefs can stop the run, I think we talked about this earlier, it's a great live bet option for the Chiefs. If they can stop the run, because I don't trust Hoyer with a lack of weapons potentially on the Patriots, if anyone disagrees with that.
So against the Raiders, they doubled the running back, right? The Patriots? Yeah. They can't do that against the Chiefs.
Yeah, what they did on that tape is they basically they doubled Waller.
Bracketed, yeah.
And then they knew he was once he left Waller, he was coming back to the back. So they made sure they always had an in and out on the back some way. What they'll do tonight is they'll try to do everything in their power to keep Tyreek Hill from making a play up the field.
So this will be a classic Tyreek Hill's distraction, which means that has happened before. Tyreek Hill's distraction, clear things up. Travis Kelce probably going to have a big game inside, I would assume. Allaire's probably going to have a big game inside. But then you automatically assume that Bill Belichick is going to have some other plan as well.
Michael, is this not a situation where you try to have Stephon Gilmore take out Tyreek Hill and then they can bracket potentially Kelce in the middle and then try to do their best against Sammy Watkins and all the other weapons that they have?
I would double Tyreek Hill. I would take Jackson, or I would take another corner and put him over on Tyreek Hill with high low and with McCourty on top. I would take Gilmore really and put him on Kelce because he's like a receiver and Gilmore can hold up against a bigger tight end. And then I would take my chances with Watkins and those other guys. But the key to all this is they've got to be able to. They must be able to rush him correctly. They can't let him go up and down the field. You know, they can't let him do that. They've got to be able to rush him with effectiveness. And, you know, look, they'll have success running the football. There's no doubt. They got to let that clock run. They got to play 26 minutes of defense tonight. If they play over 30, it's going
to
be hard.
Well, and they can't stop the run, right? They've proven that they can't really stop the run. We talked to Ninkovich, who's like, they got to be able to stop the run. We talked to somebody else, they got to be able to stop the run. Feels like the Chiefs have been built and prepared for a game if they have to run the rock with this Clyde guy.
Michael, before you answer.
No doubt. If you give them a light box now, they're going to call runs on you. That's the problem. They're going to call runs on you. But I think in Belichick's mind, you know, he's going to be willing to – he's like this poker player that doesn't mind playing $5 blackjack. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, he'll let them have those runs, and then when they get down the red zone, if he makes one play in the red zone, they're kicking field goals instead of touchdowns. But the clock's moving. And I think that's what he's going to want more than anything.
Mm-hmm. And to your point, the Chiefs are number 7 at almost 5 yards a carry. And then New England is, like I said, 22 at stopping the run as far as opponents' yards per rush.
I feel like I learned so much about football during this show, by the way.
You know, let's go. Yards per point. New England's offense averages 14.1 yards per point. Kansas City's 14.29, really close. Defensively, New England's 16.26, Kansas City's 17.7. You know, they're really tight there. And then when yards per play, yards per pass play, New England's at 11.1, Kansas City's at 10.7, and defensively they're both at 10.8 or 10.6. It's really closer than you think in terms of the numbers when you break it down by play.
Well, and you're saying they're a bend but don't break defense. Like, yeah, we're going to give up these yards because we maybe aren't out or built for that. But once you get into the are we getting 3 or are we getting 7 territory, we can lock
That's
it down.
The game. We got to hold them. There's going to be some times you hold them for you can't let them score touchdowns like Baltimore did. You got to be able to make that play down in the red zone. And that's where you got to get complicated. That's why the Chargers play them so well. The Chargers aren't complicated in the field. The Chargers basically play fast. They hit the quarterback, and they don't let the ball get thrown over the head for the most part. And they try to play as good as they can in the red zone. That's the formula if you're going to beat them. You got to force tonight. I think they got to force at least 13 to 14 third downs by the Chiefs because that means they're not making big plays.
Yeah, and in this game, just like any other game, it's going to be decided third down and red zone. So third down conversion, the Chiefs are number 1 and the Patriots are number 5 against getting off the field. And then red zone scoring, the Chiefs are number 9 and the Patriots are number 10. So that's going to be where it decides the game tonight. With all that being said, does anyone have a pick on this game tonight? Mike, I'll start with you.
I lean towards taking the points. I just think it's – I think what Gump said about the 10-24, I think it's a lot of points on Monday night. I do worry about the travel. I think there is going to be a level of – I know the NFL doesn't give a shit about that, but I do think it wears on players.
I think so, too. In my eyes, the Chiefs are going to turn the burners on in the second half with the long Patriots thing, but – you never know, because Bill Belichick at halftime will be able to re-manipulate something. So I'm kind of struggling with this.
Same.
My big bet was Chiefs -6.5 when we had a heads up that Cam potentially tested positive, and we bet that before the line was able to move. So I feel very good about that. But 10.5 is a lot of points against Bill Belichick. And I know the Chiefs did it on opening night a few years ago with Alex Smith and It's Possible and all that shit. But 10.5 is a lot of points. I would lean towards Patriots plus 10.5, but I have a very handsome bet on Chiefs minus 6.5. So I would like both of those to potentially fall into place.
This is one where I want to take the Chiefs just because I worry about the Patriots offense being to sustain drives and put points on the board against, and then what you need to do against the Chiefs. And I have a rule to not bet against Bill Belichick, so I'm just going to have to, unfortunately, stay away from this.
You know, everybody's betting the Chiefs. 71% of the tickets, 80% of money.
Yep. Gumpy, you got anything?
That number went back up. In some places, it's now at 11.5. It was up at 11. It went down to 10. Now it's back up to 11.
Jeez.
Gumpy, you got anything?
I got to play a combo on both games tonight.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I also have a rule in this second game.
What's happening with you? You got a little teaser going?
He's got a teaser. He's got a teaser.
That might be my bet, by the way.
He's going to tease the Chiefs and the Packers, if I had to guess.
Is that what you're going to do?
You got it.
Oh, I'm doing that too. Doing what he's doing.
Michael, every single thing in my bones wants me to, like, looking at the numbers and stuff like that, wants to take the Falcons, but I made a rule this year after the first 3 weeks to never take the Falcons again until I see something different. So I'm going to have to not do that, but do you think that's the side tonight, potentially?
Hey, your rules are deciding.
I like that side. I mean, I lean that way. I'm not taking it, but I lean that way. I think that's really – I like that. There's everything about it I like. Right, like right now, the Falcons are getting 31% of the money, 32% of the money, and the lines move from 7.5 down to 6. The line's moving, you know, and yet no one's really betting Atlanta.
Yeah, it's everything, all the bet signals, bet indicators say take Falcons, but
I don't know if I could live with myself if I lost another Falcons.
Is there a theory or maybe a potential play here, Falcons first half, since they have been great in the first half and
I want to ask you this. Green Bay's field to me was so slippery and so hard to really get traction on. You know, unless you play there a lot, it can catch you off guard. You got to wear those seven. You got to wear those hot. You got to wear those cleats up there. To me, I don't know. What did you think when you played up there?
So the interesting thing about Lambeau is their turf is actually a mixture of natural grass and turf. So it's like, I think one of the only ones that is a combo of both. And I might be mistaken. I just remember thinking the exact same thing that you just mentioned. Like, oh, this is different than everywhere else. And it legitimately is. It'll probably be a little bit of a cooler night. Maybe a little, I don't know if there'll be any drizzle. I don't know the entire thing. But the floor, the surface is definitely different than everywhere else. And I think it's a hybrid. They got a hybrid grass turf thing.
Yeah, I mean, I lean towards Atlanta here. I think the over opened at 58. I mean, imagine that, and now it's back down to 56. And based on this weekend, I'm not sure the over's not in play here too.
Yeah, home teams 2-10-1 against the spread this weekend, Mike.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Speaking of the over here and potentially being in here, the Packers are 32nd in opponent's points per play, 31st in opponent yards per play. They're 31st in opponent yards per rush and 28th in opponent's yards per pass. Then the Falcons, they're 31st in opponent's yards per game, points per play, opponent yards per play. This is
You guys are saying Falcons, huh?
Well, no. I'm saying both defenses. If you look at the stats,
that's the point. I think that's why that number opened at 58. Both, I don't know if either team can stop one another. And Julio's back, right? And Davante Adams isn't. Lazard, I'm not sure he's going to play either. The last time I checked, he was on the injury report. But, you know, I mean, so let's see here. Yeah, he's out too with Core.
Yep.
And Adams is out. So the two of their receivers, I mean – this is an opportunity. Now, look, Atlanta's no good on defense. We get that. But if they're ever, but they've been embarrassed so much nationally without anybody really watching them that once they get on national TV, they might actually show something.
And then I believe it was Darius Butler who was on earlier that said both Atlanta's starting safeties, I believe, are out. So I think it's going to be
big tight end night.
An up and down game. I don't know if this isn't like a sigh or like a bet. This is a prop bet right now on FanDuel. Mm. You get that each team will score a touchdown in each half. So Atlanta scores a touchdown in each half. Green Bay scores a touchdown in each half. And that's minus 130 right now at FanDuel. I did take that tonight just because I think, yes, both teams will score a touchdown in each half. And minus 130, I believe, is not that bad for that bet.
I like that, Tony. That's a good bet.
I do. What's his what's his two game teaser?
I don't like the spreads here, Mike. But Monday nights we like to make picks on the games.
Yeah, that's what we do
around
here.
That's what we do at this table. So I'm doing a 6-point teaser at -130. So I'm getting the Chiefs at -4.5 and the Packers as a pick 'em.
Right.
That's smart. That's smart.
That's betting, baby.
Hey, that's gamble. That's teasing, baby. I got introduced to the tease this weekend. I fucking love that thing. I love it. I had a really
Weren't
good one.
You good at picking them straight up? Don't do that. Just stay with it.
Oh, listen, I'm just adding shots to my bag, boss. I'm just adding shots to my bag because not everything's going to look great, you know? Not everything's going to look delicious. Sometimes you need to tease a little bit, get a little bit more on the back end from two shots and say, hey, you two are going to hit for sure. And I agree with Gumpy with what he just said. That's my official bet on this show of tonight is what Gumpy just said.
You're doing that tease as well?
I'm doing what Gumpy just said right there.
So for tonight, Michael's got to lean on the Patriots and the Falcons. I'm going to lean Chiefs and then take that score for each team in each half for Packers and Falcons. And you boys are taking the Chiefs.
Did you hear the bet he picked right there?
Wild. Tony props.
What's wrong with my pick?
Well, there's over-under, money line, points. Your bet is, I think both teams are going to score in each half.
Well, they're both. Mine bet is -130. Your bet is -130. They're the same fucking thing.
All right.
Even Steven.
Hey, I like it. We're just predicting things that could happen.
Listen,
I would like a bet on Travis Kelce scoring a touchdown tonight. That's one of mine I'd like to put on there. Also, Sternberger, whatever his name is. Is that his name for Green Bay? He's going to score a touchdown too. Put those bets in there.
Those are good. As long as
I like it.
But you're not going to be criticized for a bet on this game unless it's like -200 or greater.
Vegas Dave.
This isn't fucking Mickey Mouse land, okay?
That's your guy, Lombardi.
Oh, by the way, did you see Vegas Dave went 61-0 this year, Lombardi?
Unbelievable.
Did he really? There's my guy. God, how does he do it? Oh my God.
Didn't lose
amazing.
A baseball bet all year.
What a complete fraud. I swear to God. I wanna call every person who plays with it and tell them they're an idiot. I mean, this guy's a complete fraud. I don't know how the FBI is not out there investigating.
Jesus. That's where we'll leave you on this day. We'll be back on Thursday at 3:30 again. Michael, we love you. We can't thank you enough.
Guys,
we appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Good luck today,
Mike. He's already gone.
He's out.
He didn't even hear us say thanks.
Sir. Oh, by the way, for our survivor, if Nick had the Chiefs at -6.5, so I think that's locked in, right?
Is Connor?
Connor's done. Connor's, Cardinals.
Connor's done. He picked the Cardinals.
Would you like to talk about it, Connor?
So Nick wins?
Oh, is Connor sitting in?
He's survivor. He is.
Connor, I know you wanted to ask Lombardi about the Patriots game tonight. Why didn't you?
No, I didn't have to ask. He said everything we had to say. I mean, he said what he had to say about Damian Williams, Harris.
You were right. You are trumping, or you were blowing that fucking horn loud.
I was pounding the shit out of that drum. That's right.
Connor has Damian Harris to score a touchdown tonight, +420, I believe.
Yeah, should have got it earlier this morning at 800, but it is what it is. James White also at +420. Definitely take that as well. First game back since the unfortunate mistake.
Oh, he's
what Pat said about
tonight.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the KC rush offense. I mean, that's all you really have to know about that game tonight.
How do you feel about the Cardinals?
I mean, look, we were on the right side. Sometimes you bet on a game.
What is that all about? Damian Harris, by the way, +430. I just bet it.
Oh,
is any of this on Cliff, though, the Cardinals?
You would think something, man.
Right?
You mean if they're averaging four yards of completion?
Like the book is out, right? The first two games they lit it up, and now they can't.
Can we also consider that the biggest disappointment from this draft is, in fact, Isaiah Simmons? And where has he been? We thought he was going to be an all-pro, and he's an absolute nobody.
Well, he's a rookie still.
But still, there are a lot of – Winfield for the Bucs is making so many plays.
No, it's not great that he's only had like five tackles through the first four games. I mean, but you know, he's just trying to fill himself out.
Yeah, well, maybe he should just pick a position.
The Panthers might be not bad, though. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, Teddy B.
I see the Panthers getting 3.5 next week against the Falcons.
They could have easily won in week one against the Raiders.
Yep. Yeah.
Teddy's two unfortunate turnovers to start the game against the Bucs put them behind the ball.
They came back well that game. Mm-hmm.
Panthers might be all right.
I have just one crazy parlay I just want to throw out there.
Okay, go ahead.
It is Mecole Hardman to score a touchdown and the Chiefs to win, parlayed with Jamal Williams to score a touchdown and the Packers to win.
Yeah.
That is a +2,300. Great value there. And although I don't want to bet on the Chiefs to win, when Brian Hoyer's at the helm, you got to consider all options.
The cavalry's not coming over the hill.
Brian Hoyer could potentially become Tom Brady tonight with – Cam Newton becoming Bledsoe.
Whoa. You wanted it, Connor. You said we need our next Bledsoe, and it's happening.
Well, it has happened in the same game, boys. And let's also consider Hoyer going down, Bledsoe, Stidham coming in, Brady. That's what we also have
to think Edelman will play at quarterback before Stidham tonight.
Yo, poof.
I would love Edelman at quarterback. We need that.
They probably run the same offense that they ran with Cam. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, that's Hammer Dot. We'll be back Thursday at 3:30 to preview the Thursday night game. It's a good one. It's Colts-Bears, I believe.
You got it, pal.
No, sorry. Tampa and the Bears.
Bucks. Yeah, Bucks-Bears.
Colts
Bucks
beat Bears. The Bears yesterday.
Correct.
Handily, right. By the way.
And I think it's going to be a similar result on Thursday night.
And Phillip Rivers had one of the most glorious shit-talking sessions without ever saying a swear word at all with Roquan Smith.
And he will... be
on the show tomorrow on the Pat McAfee show tomorrow. Phillip Rivers, we have like maybe 10 minutes with him
around 1:30, 1:40 ish
Eastern daylight.
So tune in tomorrow for that. Thanks to everyone who subscribed to this YouTube channel for getting us to 1 million.
Yeah, people are saying that because we've been celebrating the million so much, people might unsubscribe and go back under 1 million. And the joke's on them. We'll celebrate 1 million twice.
We have no problem doing that. Thank you so much for watching. This also comes out as a podcast. If you can't catch it every Monday, Thursday, Friday at 3:30, we put it out as a podcast right after. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell not your friends. Hammer Don.
Yeah. See ya. Yeah. Hammer Don.
Don.